A bad quarterback throwing interceptions is much more likely than having someone fumble the ball. And then you have to recover it, too.
I've always felt like turnovers are just kind of organic.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
I don't think interceptions are. I think interceptions come from good defense and bad quarterback play. You know, force tight windows and the quarterback's not very good and you disguise your coverages pretty well. Like, you can force turnovers that way.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
See, I think with fumbles, those are a little bit more what I would consider lucky, because then you have to fall on it and recover it, too.
And it depends on how the ball bounces.
It's not round, as
a
wise man once
said. It's not round. You don't know which way it's going to bounce.
Yeah.
It could bounce to the left, to the right. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a lemon-shaped object.
Sometimes it can just bounce right back up to you. It's a what?
It's a lemon-shaped object.
On 1340 WKGN.
Aren't lemons just like round?
Some,
with like a little
some,
tip
some
on
lemon.
Them sometimes,
well,
maybe?
I feel like when you see a lemon, a depiction of a lemon, like in a photo, like in a, you know, a graphic or something, it's shaped like a football. But when you actually buy a lemon in the store, it is just kind of round. But not all lemons. Some lemons are more, you know, they got more of a side to them. Some lemons have hips. Others are just circular.
Hour two kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour two headlines. Cam, you got any news?
I do have some news. Let me find my bookmark here.
Yeah, already.
There's been lots of stuff going on a little bit. But Myles Garrett was issued a citation for failure to control his motor vehicle in the wake of that Monday single car crash with him and the girl he had in the car. Apparently his car flipped 3 times. He was supposedly going 65 in a 45, and I guess he couldn't hold it. And yeah, he crashed. Not really a ton of injuries for him.
Be funny if he hit Mason Rudolph.
Just like, what a coincidence. Yeah. They're on the same road.
Just happened to be traveling down the same road, and Myles Garrett rammed him into a ditch.
Yeah. He had a couple injuries, though. He had a laceration on his right wrist and hand. He said he had pain in his right wrist hand, right bicep, left shoulder, and left side of his face. He returned to the Browns facility today. He's not practicing yet, and he's still up in the air for Sunday's game. I think he should just not play. You should rest up, bud.
Yeah.
That's my take. This would be a perfect game to miss. You don't need to play this week. I think that would be for the best. Probably just, you know, driving to practice, I feel like it's just dangerous enough right now. So, I think it's within the safety of everybody involved that this guy just doesn't play this Sunday or at least get suspended, because I don't think this is the first time he's had issues with getting arrested for, like, speeding. I think he's been ticketed multiple times. He has a couple other instances where he has 6 speeding tickets.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah. One of them, he was stopped for driving 120. Another
Jesus
time,
Christ.
105. It's just like, what are you doing, dude? Like, I think you should suspend him. Obviously, he's a reckless driver.
Sounds like Miles knows how to cover some miles.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's his name, I guess.
This guy from LSU said, oh, sorry, you weren't.
Oh, no, you're good.
This guy from LSU says, he's talking about the 11 a.m. kickoff for Tennessee and LSU. He says the decision for CBS to pass not once but twice on the contest has many people upset, I'm told, including LSU AD Scott Woodward. So apparently the LSU athletic director is upset that it's an 11 a.m. kickoff down there. He wanted a night game too.
Well, I thought CBS was going to put in a claim too, possibly, and I don't know. I definitely didn't think noon game was going to be the option that I thought we were going to get. I was a little surprised by that, but
this guy says CBS passed not once but twice on it,
yeah.
And it upset the LSU AD and even some SEC officials and leadership.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people wanted this to not be a noon game.
It's doubleheader, so yeah, you thought, like, oh, we're going to get one of these 2 slots. And then you're like, worst case, we get ESPN, but nope.
Did you see Sister Jean throwing out her pitch the other night against
the
Cubs game?
Actually.
Pretty weak, wasn't it?
Yeah.
She's got to be.
Definitely not throwing heaters.
She's so close to death.
You bored betting when
No, I'm going to stay away from the board bets on the Sister Jean death, but, I mean, my God, she's so old. 103. I did like where it said Sister Jean still throwing out first pitches at 103, and this guy said looked significantly slower than 103, but okay.
Yeah.
What else we got?
I got one for you.
Okay.
Surprisingly, Jameis Winston was not at the open portion of Saints practice today. The expectation per both him and Dennis Allen, their head coach, was that he would be practicing today. So a little concerning as they had Andy Dalton taking first team reps with him being out. Taysom Hill was second team. Also, Michael Thomas also wasn't at practice, but Jarvis Landry was. I don't know if you remember, but London game this Sunday.
Oh, yeah, there is a London game. Who's playing in it?
It is the Vikings Saints.
Viking so Saints.
They will be.
How is Kirk Cousins in London games?
It's not prime time, so probably a lot better than usual. Yeah. I don't know if he's ever actually been out there. I'm not sure.
So Jameis, did you say Jameis did not practice?
Yeah, he missed practice today. So it's a possibility that Andy Dalton could be the starter in London.
Just what the Englishmen are hoping to see is Kirk Cousins versus Andy Dalton.
Yeah, first their queen dies, now this.
Now Kirk Cousins in the stadium?
Yeah.
Well, it is cool, I guess, that the NFL is trying to expand the product nationwide.
I mean, we're playing in Germany and stuff this year. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, giving them we have NFL games in Germany?
Yep.
Really? It is cool. I mean,
they're really trying to expand the brand, so they're just trying to go everywhere.
American football is a great sport. Might as well try to expand it worldwide. It's not the worst thing we as Americans have delivered overseas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly not the worst thing. A report is that LIV Golf is nearing a deal to buy broadcast time on Fox Sports.
Mm. That would be big for them.
Because
right now I think you can only watch them on like YouTube.
So they would be paying for their broadcast time. That's the interesting thing about the headline.
That is interesting.
Whereas normally Fox Sports would pay.
So they're going to like double dip by getting somebody to pay them to show something. I mean, they're going to get paid for advertising in between it.
I guess
if they do any ads, I don't know.
Well, normally the TV network would pay the golf, but LIV is going to actually buy the broadcast time on Fox Sports, or at least that's the report.
Fair enough. I mean,
they got a lot of money. That's what everybody keeps saying. They got all the money in the world, so I guess they can do that. Hendon Hooker was the third highest graded quarterback through 4 weeks of the college football season, according to Pro Football Focus College. He is the third highest graded quarterback at 91.6, just ahead of Georgia's Stetson Bennett, who is graded at 90.6 through 4 weeks. By these metrics, Hendon is only behind Jordan Travis of FSU and Tanner Morgan of Minnesota. So they're both graded a bit higher. Hendon Hooker, 91.6. What's that?
Minnesota's been good this year.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody kind of criticized P.J. Fleck for being Butch Jones. He's a little Butch-esque.
Mm-hmm.
But, he's got him looking pretty good. Their quarterback's definitely looking good.
I didn't even realize he was still there. He's got to be a 6 or 7 year senior at this point.
He's been nearly perfect this year. I mean, he is the highest graded quarterback. I mean, he's efficient. And, like you said, a lot of experience. Is Minnesota undefeated?
Yeah. I think they're in the rankings now.
Why can't I find them on the schedule? Are they not playing this week?
They may have a bye. Couple other notes from NFL stuff. Alvin Kamara's court case has been pushed back again, furthering the fact that he is highly unlikely to get suspended at all this year. I know a lot of fantasy owners are worried about that, but I didn't think he was going to get suspended this year just because the way legal stuff takes its time. They always take their time. Also, what else? Also, it's about that time of year again. Christian McCaffrey has missed the last 2 days of practice. No sign of him again today.
Oh, no.
Quad injury, so.
Oh, God.
Keep an eye on that.
I thought you were
about
to give me something about pumpkin spice.
Oh.
You said it's that time of the year again.
I think that's already out and about, though. It's got to be. It's almost October.
Yeah, we just, I noticed we have a pumpkin beer on tap now at the bar. So
yeah, Oktoberfest finally.
It is October. Well, actually, it's not quite October, but almost.
Saturday will be October.
Minnesota. Jesus, Minnesota, like, they've been beating people up, haven't they?
They've been dominating.
They're 4-0. They beat New Mexico State 38-0, Western Illinois 62-10. Nothing impressive there, but then they beat Colorado 49-7, and they beat Michigan State 34-7.
Yeah.
Obviously, pretty good defense they got. They're not giving up any points.
Yeah, they've been holding people down pretty well, and, yeah, scoring as well, too. So,
they play
obviously,
Purdue.
Talking about with that quarterback being efficient. But speaking of quarterbacks, kind of a big quarterback matchup this Sunday as Chiefs and Bucks with Mahomes Brady. They are on to play that game in Tampa as scheduled. They just announced. So.
The game Sunday?
Yeah.
Tampa Bay and they're playing. Tampa Bay and Kansas City are playing this week?
Yep.
Well, it is a big game.
In Tampa. So there was obviously with the Hurricanes a possibility they were going to move that game. But nope, it is on in Tampa as scheduled.
I guess Tampa avoided a direct hit yesterday when the hurricane. I think it hit right around Fort Myers.
Fort Myers is what.
Did you? Yeah, it looked like Fort Myers was pretty much underwater. Did you see those sharks swimming in the street?
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, had sharks in the street, and then that old photo resurfaced of the sharks in the subway, and people like the fake news was going around. There's sharks in the Tampa subway. There's no subways in Tampa, but
people
believed it.
Oh yeah, people don't fact check things or know much about.
Yeah, they just spread that around like it was happening. So,
speaking of people that can't really know what to say at certain times or things like that, have you seen this quote from Brett Favre coming from The Athletic?
No. What is it?
They were kind of asking him about obviously his welfare.
Oh yeah, how he stole that money from the poor people in Mississippi and gave it to Southern Miss.
Oh yeah. So here's what he said. So this is art coming from The Athletic. They said, reached at his house for comment. Brett turned on the old gunslinger charm that's found itself wearing thin recently. Brett said, it's just astonishing the hypocrisy from some of y'all, Favre said. I mean, heck, do you support Title IX or not? Now my daughter is being prosecuted for having a state-of-the-art volleyball facility because her dad worked for a living. Favre's mental gymnastics at this point would make some Russian person blush. It's like, and then Favre goes on to say, it's like y'all can't have me sending messages on my phone trying to hook up with a young woman, but you don't want me trying to help him out either. Make up your minds.
Oh, my God.
After one reporter pointed out that this was an issue with welfare fraud, not women, Favre got more defensive. I don't know much about welfare. All I know that we'll fare a lot better as a society once we get back to doing a little thing I call accountability.
So go get a job is basically what he's saying.
Instead of trying to take away my constitution. This is all off the record, by the way.
Okay. So he's saying the poor people don't deserve money. He said,
Will Fair.
The poor people in Mississippi don't deserve that money. It's better to go to my daughter. She needs it for her volleyball.
He said, I can't send photos on my phone trying to hook up with a young woman. I can't help them either. What do you want from me?
Those are some pretty good mental gymnastics.
Oh, yeah. Favre is wild.
He's really painting himself out as the victim there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He's like, damned if I do, damned if I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I try to help some young women playing volleyball. At least I'm not sending pictures of my penis to young women like I used to do.
Yeah,
I quit doing that.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to help them out, and it's not good enough for you people. Yeah, that's a pretty good quote.
Oh,
pretty good quote. I like how he said his daughter gets to benefit from things because he worked for a living.
Yeah.
You played football, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
You played football. You played a game. You just happened to be pretty good at throwing the thing around. I don't know if I call that working for a living like some people have to. Yeah, that's a pretty good quote. Last headline here. It looks like Alec Baldwin will be facing criminal charges over the shooting death on his movie set.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Baldwin, obviously, he pulled the trigger. Let's see.
Is it just
being
involuntary manslaughter? Is that what the charge is?
There's still a lot of unknown about what happened, who's ultimately responsible. Alec Baldwin did not make legal history with the first ever. The gun was in my hand, but it went off without any help from me defense. It appears the FBI did not buy the alibi. I'm looking for the information. Neither did the state prosecutor. A source said Alec Baldwin buried his head in his hands when he answered a phone call Monday, hours after it was revealed that a New Mexico prosecutor was looking to file criminal charges against him in the fatal shooting of the cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Baldwin was seen in an apparent scene of despair. Okay, he stood alone for 10 minutes on the phone. Had heavy bags under his eyes while hunched over a fence overlooking the river. Who was just standing here watching him do all this? At another point, Baldwin was seen with an armful of popcorn and a water bottle, a blue mask covering his mouth but not his nose. What are these details? Should be getting to it eventually here, just reading through this. Earlier in the day, news broke that prosecutors may charge the actor. He handed over his cell phone to be considered as evidence. In a letter to the state's financial board asking for funding to prosecute the case, the Santa Fe DA said she was ready to file charges against four people. She stopped short of confirming the charges she planned to bring, but said she was certainly looking at all the homicide statutes and any gun statutes under New Mexico criminal code. One of the possible defendants is well-known movie actor Alec Baldwin, she wrote, adding there could be four separate criminal trials.
Jeez.
How about that?
That is pretty wild.
So the meat of the information here is where it says she stopped short of confirming the charges, but was looking at homicide statutes and gun statutes. So I guess we don't know yet exactly what Baldwin will be charged with, but it looks like something's coming. I mean, it seems at the least, probably looking at manslaughter or something like that. I guess we'll find out. Surely it's not homicide.
You wouldn't think so.
Accidental homicide? I don't know. There's a lot of different degrees to that stuff.
Voluntary manslaughter or reckless endangerment, something. I don't know.
Wow. Interesting. But apparently it said Alec Baldwin was in despair over the thing. So, well, we'll see what happens with that, see how that progresses. Talk sports back on the other side. Cam, the college football expert, Josh Pate. You've heard of this guy?
I think so.
Late kick, Josh. He has Tennessee number 5 in his current poll.
Ooh.
I guess it's his power ratings he does every week. Who is this guy? Host Late Kick Live? I don't know. I've definitely heard of the guy. He's got 85,000 followers. He's he's a college football guy, but he's got Tennessee number 5 in his power ratings right now. Top 5 team? I mean, obviously we're a top 8 team, but top 5? He has us only behind Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and Michigan.
Okay. So ahead of USC and...
Ahead of USC, ahead of Clemson, ahead of Oklahoma, Utah, Penn State, all those.
I think you could make a case for us being ahead of, like, in the actual AB poll, being ahead of, like, Clemson and Kentucky.
I don't really like Clemson's. I mean, we're better than Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That AP poll is kind of a, like, and it makes you even emphasize more, like, how the rankings don't mean anything this time of the year. I'm interested to see if we can keep winning where we'll be in the first playoff poll.
That would be nice, just to see it. Even if you don't end up there, it'd be cool just to see it.
Of course, by then, we will have had to play Alabama, and we will also have had to play Kentucky, I believe.
Yeah.
What is it, week 5? So week 6 we play LSU, week 7 Alabama, week 8 Kentucky. Week 8's the first time it comes out, I think.
Okay.
So we will either have just played Kentucky or we'll be getting ready to play Kentucky. But like, obviously in the AP a lot of it does have to do with what you've done or where you started. Kentucky, they did beat Florida on the road, mm-hmm. so they've got the same win as we do as far as beating Florida. Theirs being away from home, I guess a little more impressive than ours being at home. But they don't have a win at Pittsburgh. Their other three wins are Miami, Ohio, Youngstown State, and Northern Illinois.
Yeah, they really haven't played anybody.
They really haven't played anybody, and they also have not scored over 31 points in the last 2 weeks against Youngstown State and Northern Illinois.
Yeah, they struggled with Northern Illinois, too.
They did beat Florida on the road, so give them credit for that. But I
almost don't, because Stoops has been, like, historically really good against Florida for Kentucky. Like, they don't always come away with a win, but he's played them very competitively.
Yeah.
And now they have a little talent. It made sense.
I don't think Kentucky's better than us, obviously. Yeah. Let's look at the other teams ahead of us. Okay, USC, number six. They beat Rice, 66-14. They beat Stanford on the road, 41-28. Is that their best win? I mean, they beat Fresno State, 45-17, and they beat Oregon State by a field goal on the road in Corvallis.
You had to come back. Hey, the last few times USC has gone to Corvallis ranked, though, they have lost. So that was a big step forward for them. Oregon State's been pretty solid this year, actually. But, yeah, still you should have beat them by more than a field goal if you're a top-level team. But
I'm just looking at this completely unbiased. Mm-hmm. We have two ranked wins, okay?
Yeah.
USC has zero. Kentucky has one. So our resume is better than both of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at Clemson. They beat Georgia Tech, unranked. They beat Furman. They beat Louisiana Tech. Clemson's best win is at Wake Forest. At number 21, Wake Forest, it took double overtime.
Mm-hmm.
They won 51-45. Again, completely unbiased.
Yes,
our resume.
Team that's supposed to be known for defense gave up 45 points.
Yeah, our resume, without a doubt, better than Clemson's. Michigan, number four. Their wins are over Colorado State, Hawaii, UConn, and Maryland. Michigan probably has the weakest resume of the top teams right now.
They definitely haven't played anybody.
Now, sure, they look dominant
when
they beat
Maryland for a little bit.
Yeah, they only beat Maryland by a touchdown. So this whole idea that Michigan is dominant because they beat Colorado State, Hawaii, and UConn, yeah, they look dominant in those games. They were playing Colorado State, Hawaii, and UConn.
Yeah, the polls are just so predicated on where you kind of started.
Ohio State, they got a good win over Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas State, Toledo, Wisconsin. So far, of the top teams, like Ohio State is the only resume that's even comparable to ours.
Yeah.
And I'm giving them credit for beating unranked Wisconsin. But they do have a top five win, which we don't have. Mm-hmm. Although I think now you look at Notre Dame and you say, well, I don't think that team's in the top five.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bama, they beat Utah State, Texas, UL Monroe, Vandy. No ranked wins. And then Georgia, of course. And I'm not trying to say we're as good as Georgia, but
yeah.
I'm just looking at who everybody's played and who they've beaten. Georgia beat Oregon, Samford, South Carolina, Kent State. So we technically do have the best resume of the top eight.
Yeah.
Technically. That doesn't mean we should be ranked first. I'm not saying that. The eye test matters too. And obviously when you look at Georgia, you realize that team's better than us. Alabama and Ohio State should also be better than us. But these other four ahead of us, Cam, I don't know. Michigan, Clemson, USC, Kentucky, I don't know. Michigan probably got a better defense than us. Clemson definitely got more talent than us. I could see – I'll even give those teams benefit of the doubt there. But I could easily see us being number six.
Yeah,
I don't think you can convince me that on a neutral field, USC and Kentucky are better than us. I think we could beat either one of those teams. I think we would beat those teams. Now, Clemson or Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, maybe not.
I'm a little higher on USC. I do think they're pretty solid. Lincoln Riley, obviously a good coach over there, so I think it would be a tough game for sure. Clemson really doesn't scare me with their offense this year. Like, DJ's played better, but still, like, if you're in the game with Clemson, do you think you trust him to keep up with our offense?
No, I don't.
I wouldn't.
Like, I don't. I know they have more talent, and they have a better defense probably. But, well, do they, though? They gave up like you said, they give up 45 to Wake Forest. So
they have talented players on that defense, but yeah, that Wake game wasn't a great showing from them. But
I mean, the only teams that I know are better than us are Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. I mean, I don't know that we're a top five team, but I like the way we look. And I think it's obvious that we've got the best offense in the country. So it'll all come down to what we're able to do on defense. How can we improve? How can we get better? Got to shore up that secondary.
Oh, yeah.
Before the LSU game, but
yeah.
Just
handle business, beat LSU, maybe beat it handily so you can get out there and rest some guys, and then you got the big one.
I don't want to feel overconfident that, but, you know, LSU really doesn't scare me at all.
Me neither.
For some reason, I feel better going into the LSU game than I did even the Florida game. Now that we've got the Florida, the monkey off our back. I mean, I don't see any reason this team shouldn't take care of business against LSU, but we'll find that out next Saturday.
For sure.
SEC Mike coming up next on the show. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back on the other side. We'll ask him and his expert opinion, get some SEC football news, and we'll ask him about what's going on at Auburn and get some of his takes for the weekend. Talk sports. Back at you on the other side. Back on the show. Talk sports carrying you through your bye week Thursday here. SEC Mike. Coming up on the show now, Mike joins us, courtesy of the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Mike, how you doing, brother?
Hey, doing great, Cody, and no John. Is he still drinking the drugs up in Denver or something?
Yeah, no John. He's still up there in the Mile High City. Don't know what he's up to. I don't know what he's up to. He could be up there dabbling in the weed. You know, it's legal over there. I don't know if that's what's – I don't know if he is or not. That's just speculation on my part. But, yeah.
I don't judge him, Cody. I go to Denver about every other year, and that's usually where I start to I get inspiration to make my preseason picks.
Oh, yeah? You go up – you just find a retreat, and that's where you channel your inner creativity. You're like a modern-day Hunter S. Thompson, huh?
Exactly. I find the highest peak there in Denver, and I just go to town.
There you go. Well, they got some pretty high peaks, 14,000-something feet, some of those places. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful part of the country. Mike, Tennessee finally beat Florida. How about that?
Just as we predicted, right? I mean, I know you had a good time. If anybody wants to have a great time after the game, go back and watch. Just read over Cody's thoughts, live reactions during the game. I was jealous just staying in that timeline, but
I was a little drunk.
Yeah. Tennessee took care of business, Cody, as expected. I mean, of course, they had to make it dramatic because it was a Florida football game, but at no point, aside from the onside kick, did I think Tennessee was going to lose that game. I mean, the defense obviously didn't look too great, but a win's a win. You'll take it to any SEC game, and particularly Florida. I'm not too worried about it because as long as Hendon Hooker is efficient, this is what I've been saying, man. I'm not sitting here predicting that they're going to beat Alabama and beat Georgia, but if the offense plays as well as it did against Florida, they can beat those teams. They're going to have to be stronger on defense, force some turnovers, but this offense gives them a shot in every game they're going to play.
Tennessee offense looked pretty good Saturday. I mean, about as good as you can look. And like you said, even though things got a little bit hairy there at the end, I don't think, you know, for 59 minutes of that game, nobody ever really thought Florida was going to win it. Even in the first half when Florida was keeping the game close, the way that Tennessee responded with the quick touchdown, you know, Florida goes up 7-3 and Tennessee responds quick to go up 10-7. You felt that Tennessee's offense was there. They sputtered a little bit, but you felt good about it most of that game. And, you know, Mike, this weekend, Alabama plays Arkansas, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that game. You're talking about Tennessee-Alabama coming up here in a couple weeks. I almost have a thought that if Arkansas can keep that game close, I will feel pretty good about Tennessee having a real chance to win that game, because I know Arkansas has a lot of trouble in the secondary too.
Right. Yeah, and I think it will be a ball game, Cody. I mean, with the CBS game of the week, those fans are going to be fired up. And, you know, this may sound idiotic because you wanted to win that game against Texas A&M, but I almost think it favors Arkansas that they didn't, because College Game Day was coming to town. I think it just would have been, you know, all the hoopla around that game, I think it would have been maybe too much for Arkansas. Now you got an angry team. I think Arkansas deserved to win that game last weekend, but they didn't get it done. We got to credit A&M for making those plays, but Arkansas is the better team after watching those teams. That's my opinion, and I think they're going to have something to prove here, and I think there's a realistic shot that they knock off Alabama. They've never beaten Nick Saban as long as he's been in Tuscaloosa. I think they can get it done on Saturday.
I believe I was looking at some numbers yesterday. I believe Nick Saban is a combined 45-0 against Arkansas, Tennessee, and Mississippi State in his tenure. So you know, he's taking care of the Hogs and the Vols, no problem. But Mike, Bryce Young has 5 true road starts as Alabama's starter. I saw this yesterday. 5 true road starts, and 4 of those decided by 3 points or less. So that could be a game this weekend up in Fayetteville, and you think Arkansas can knock them off?
Yeah, I think they can. And in those games you referenced, Cody, it's not like they were going up, you know, at Clemson or at Georgia. Those were games Alabama, the average point spread for those, they were favored by 18. What are they favored by in this one? 17. So it's basically the same story. Alabama's offensive line is a real issue. Arkansas leads the SEC in sacks. K.J. Jefferson, I don't think he's getting enough credit for how efficient he's been. He's actually been more efficient than Bryce Young this year. And that doesn't mean he's the better player, but in this offense, I mean, he just suits it so well. The key to the game, can they run the ball on Alabama's defense, which has been stellar, but they've not really been tested outside of Texas. And Texas, of course, starting quarterback got hurt, knocked out of the game, and I think even the backup was hurt in that game. So this is going to be the toughest test Alabama faces. And yeah, I mean, I was saving this for my show, but I love you too much, Cody. I'm not even going to hide this. I'm picking Arkansas to win outright.
Whoa. Ooh. Breaking news on the show. SEC Mike picking Arkansas to beat Alabama.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Are you at all worried about the Arkansas secondary?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's going to have to be a shootout-style game, but last time I checked, Alabama doesn't have these game-breaking receivers that they've had in years past. They've got some really talented running backs that can catch the ball, but even, you know, they're not even blocking that well for those backs. So it's going to have to be a high-scoring game. I think Arkansas is going to have to get over 30, 35, maybe even 40 points to win this game, back-and-forth type affair. But I think they get it done. I think they finally slay that Saban demon.
You know, my boys back home, you know, I grew up over there. They would be quite happy to hear your upset prediction. That would be crazy. Now, me, on the other hand, I kind of want an undefeated Alabama coming into Knoxville, because I want Tennessee to pull the upset. But I'm interested in that game mainly because I want to see Arkansas' secondary. I want to see if Alabama's receivers end up having a breakout day, and if Bryce Young has a breakout day, and I want to see how Arkansas responds, because the way they play Alabama will tell me whether or not Tennessee has a chance. That's just my personal opinion on it. But shifting gears a little bit, well, staying in the state of Alabama, Mike, Auburn, are they going to fire Brian Harsin? I mean, I guess there was a report from A.J. McCarron that they were set to can him, or what's going on with that?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, Cody, how beat Missouri, which I currently think is the worst team in the SEC, how does that keep you employed? Because, hell, Missouri gave you that ball game. Missouri found every way to lose it for those that didn't see it. I mean, it was just a travesty of errors in overtime. So that obviously is not the standard at Auburn. So it's just a matter of time that before Brian Harsin is gone. I don't understand why they don't just let him go now, because his buyout doesn't even go down until after the Iron Bowl. Surely they're not going to keep him that long. The recruiting window will be a week or two for the next coach. So I think Auburn's biggest problem, Cody, is leadership and the meddling of the boosters. And even if you do fire Brian Harsin, which is all but assured at this point in time, who are you going to get to take that job? You're going to have to get a disgraced guy. You're going to have to get a Hugh Freeze, a motorcycle Petrino. I mean, you're going to have to get somebody like that, because I cannot imagine a qualified candidate is going to choose Auburn at this point in time with just all the mess they got behind the scenes.
Do you think Lane Kiffin would maybe take that job?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think in years past, perhaps he would. I think Lane Kiffin, if he could how about this stat, Cody? Since the COVID season, which that was, you got to almost throw that season out. But since that time, Ole Miss has got a better record than anybody in the SEC other than Alabama and Georgia. I mean, the job Lane Kiffin is doing there in Ole Miss is fantastic. If he keeps that up, he may be the new Texas coach when they fire Sarkisian in a year or two. He may be the next Alabama coach when Nick Saban finally retires or kicks the bucket or whatever he's going to do there. So yeah. I think Lane Kiffin could do a lot better than Auburn.
Mike, speaking of Lane Kiffin, big game for them this weekend as well, playing Kentucky. You think they go ahead and get that win there, seeing as they are like 6-7-point favorites?
No, I actually lean Kentucky on this one, as much as your audience is probably not going to want to hear that, but better quarterback, better defense. They've been tested on the road. I think Ole Miss is, kind of fool's gold. They haven't played anybody with a pulse, and you got to include Georgia Tech in that. They fired their coach about a week after getting thrashed by Ole Miss, so I haven't seen enough from Ole Miss to lead me to believe that they can beat Kentucky. Not that Kentucky is some juggernaut or anything, but I do think it'll be a tight ball game, but I go with a better quarterback and the better defense in a matchup like that. So I think Kentucky is likely going to win that one.
Interesting. I was wondering also if you had any thoughts on Kiffin's comments about the stadium this week. He was talking about how he comes out and sometimes it looks like a high school stadium out there. And a lot of people, I think, are taking that with the Auburn opening possibly happening soon and maybe connecting the two. I doubt there's any connection there. But and then some people, obviously Tennessee fans, are chiming in on that too, saying, you left Tennessee and turns out you don't like people leaving early, huh?
Yeah, and this is, Cody, this is interesting. This is not the first time Kiffin has brought this up. I mean, he brought it up last week in the press conference. Somebody asked him about the great showing against, I can't remember who they played, but it was before this Tulsa game. And he basically, laughed them off here. And he had to beg people to come out to see Matt Corral in his final home game. I mean, this is an annual thing there. And I don't understand why Ole Miss fans don't support their team like most SEC fans do. Ole Miss right now has got the longest home winning streak in 50 years. If that's not a reason to come out and watch your football team, I don't know what is. Now, they have sold out for this game, but I promise you, there's going to be a lot of Kentucky in this stadium on Saturday. And, I don't know what the issue is, but it clearly at this point in time, it's really bugging Lane. And I don't think there's any excuse for it, as well as the Rebels have been playing.
That's obviously probably the biggest game of the SEC weekend. Well, either that one or Alabama and Arkansas.
Another interesting game there with Mississippi State being 3.5-point home favorites against ranked A&M.
Yeah.
You got any thoughts on that one, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I was pumping up Mississippi State all off season. I thought they'd go into LSU and beat the hell out of them. They should have. It was, they just didn't take advantage of it. LSU was playing so poorly in the first half, but they dominated the fourth quarter to get that win. So I'm a little disappointed in Mississippi State. I think they should win this game. A&M, again, they didn't play well. They haven't played well all season. And Miami looks terrible. Arkansas, again, we touched on that. Probably should have won last week. But we got to give credit to A&M. They're not scoring points, yet they're winning these ball games. The defense is playing out of their minds. They do have one of the best running backs in the SEC, Devon Achane, who's number two in all-purpose yards in the conference. this is going to be a tight ball game. And I think Mississippi State wins it, but not surprised at all if A&M gets it done on the road. This is a season-defining game, I think, for both these teams.
Before we let you go, Mike, any thoughts? D.R. Vol, he tweets in a question for you. Any thoughts on the new King Charles and his coronation, Mike?
Yeah, last time you were asking about the queen, I was a little confused. I thought you were talking about Dolly Parton.
She's our queen.
That's the only queen I recognize. But, no, King Charles, he's not played anybody, so I don't have much. Yeah, the only king I recognize is the Burger King.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, I recognize that one too, Mike. I just started the keto diet, though, so no Burger King for me. I've managed to get to day four here without any cheating, so. I mean, I can have the meat and cheese, but, yeah, those sesame buns, no good. No good. No Burger King for me. Mike, appreciate you coming on, brother, giving us a little time today, and appreciate the breaking news on the show that you are taking Arkansas to upset Alabama this weekend. Should be a good SEC weekend, and we'll be excited to see it. Again, thanks for coming on, brother.
Anytime. Have a good one.
All right, see ya. That was SEC Mike, courtesy of the Big Orange Phillies hotline. Phone line? Hotline? Phone lines? Hotline. I like hotline. Well, anyway, Big Orange Phillies. All fan-run callers and special guests appear via the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Big Orange Phillies located at 6625 Maynardville Pike in Halls. It's a great spot for a quick lunch, burgers, beers with friends after work. You can get delivery from Big Orange Phillies via Grubhub. Or if you want to go in and check them out, they've got pool, darts, karaoke, live music on the weekends. Check out the full menu at BigOrangePhillies.com. Talk sports, back on the other side. I guess we're going to do a modified version of this or that coming up in the third hour, somehow or another.
Figure something out.
It is Thursday. I feel like it's been a couple of weeks since we did this or that.
But,
We're going to do it somehow or another. I think Bear's going to come in. This could be a complete disaster. Not sure. He's either going to argue against me or you and I are going to argue, Kim, and he's going to judge one way or another. We're going to do some sort of this or that. I'm sure I'll find a way to lose regardless, since I usually always do. Appreciate SEC Mike joining us as we wrap up hour two here. Anything from Mike, Cam, that you had any thoughts on?
Obviously, the Arkansas pick was pretty bold. I do like Arkansas plus 17, though, for sure. But, yeah, the upset straight up would be pretty wild. Also, I agree with him, too, as far as Kentucky covering 7 against Ole Miss. I think at least that would be a close game.
I disagreed with him on that one. I don't know if Kentucky is any good. He said they have the better offense, but
I don't know, man. Teams are good, to be honest.
I don't know. I mean, Ole Miss, what has Ole Miss even done this year? I mean, I know they blew out Georgia Tech. Let's see what else they did. They beat Troy. They beat UCA. They struggled to beat Tulsa. They did hammer Georgia Tech 42-0.
Georgia Tech is awful.
Yeah, they are. I mean, this is kind of the first test for both teams. Well, Kentucky had a test at Florida, and they passed their test. They won. This is the first real test for Ole Miss, though, so I don't know. Maybe Mike will be right. I don't know if I agree or disagree, really, because Ole Miss ain't played anybody. So that's a big game. That's a noon game, ESPN, Ole Miss, Kentucky. We did ask Mike about the new King Charles. Some new information coming out again about Queen Elizabeth here, too, Cam. Have you seen this? New information?
Scandal?
Well, there's new information that reveals how the queen died. Her death certificate has now been revealed. Pretty shocking here about how the queen died.
Charles suffocated her with a pillow?
motorcycle accident.
Wow.
Yeah, she was out on the British freeway, and they said she was doing 122 on a speed bike and just got completely obliterated by one of those big red, you've seen the double-decker buses, those red buses over there. Apparently, it just
exploded everywhere.
It messed her up pretty bad, yeah. It happened just past the tunnel where Diana died in her car accident.
Oh, what a coincidence.
No, but it does say her death certificate was revealed that she died of old age.
Oh,
that's what the CNN headline says.
They really need to specify that?
Yep. Says Queen Elizabeth died of old age. So I guess that's kind of the same thing as saying she died of natural causes.
Yeah, yeah.
Turns out, I guess, when you're 98 years old, or 96, whatever she was, that tends to be the leading cause of death.
Who knew? Wow.
Old age. The queen died. Her death certificate revealed. The National Records of Scotland published the document Thursday, today, saying the late British monarch died at 3:10 p.m. UK time. Ooh, actually, this is important.
Oh.
This is important because you remember on the show.
Oh, yeah?
You remember if she hadn't officially died, I would have only lost the one board bet.
Mm-hmm. So what time did they say she officially died?
She officially died 3:10 p.m. UK time, which was, that was 10:10 a.m. Eastern time. So she was already dead by the time we went on the air?
Yeah, so that does help you out.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So this is actually new information.
Oh.
Oh, I got to screenshot this and send it to John. So now I think I only lost one board bet.
That is huge if true.
Because that was the agreement, was if she was already dead when I made that proclamation that it didn't count, that I said she would live for another week. I doubled down, you know, but she was already dead. Well, this is big information.
It's wild.
This really helps me. Thank you to the National Records of Scotland for publishing this document.
Shout out Scotland.
Might have saved me a board bet there. Interesting. Well, that's it for our, what hour is this, two?
Two.
We're making it through good today. I got a little bit of a cough. Got a little bit of this cough lingering, but otherwise feeling good. We've made it through 2 hours. We'll have this or that coming up in the third hour, and we'll talk about some more stuff, do the news, and then we will get out of here. I guess Bear's going to come in the studio next hour, so we'll see how that goes. Stick with us. Talk Sports coming back on the other side.